Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of October 18, 2020. This week's sermon is titled, Victory Over Temptation, by Frank Donato.
Well, we want to say welcome to our online services here at New Hope Christian Church. We're glad that you join us. You know, it's been a crazy month and a half here in Marshalltown. About a month and a half ago, two storms came back to back, and it ripped off the roof of our auditorium, a portion of our roof. And so we've been forced to meet at the old YMCA. So we've been there, and it looks like it's going to be still a series of weeks until the repairs are made. So we moved outside into the community at the old YMCA. You know, it's been interesting as we've been meeting in there. We've been meeting in the gym area there, and people would come in, and some of the old timers remember when the church first started years ago, that's one of the places that they met as they were beginning to form the church here at New Hope, and they remember the good times and memories there. Other people come, and that's where they were in junior high and senior high years, and some of them remember going down to the weight room and lifting weights and then coming up and play basketball. Tom Severson remembers running around the track that's above the basketball courts and how he had to slow down his G-forces as he turned the corner. And it's just been neat to have that opportunity to meet in that old gym. You know, I've learned that I'm out of shape, and it's ironic. I'm in a gym. You know, it takes about an hour and a half every Sunday morning to set up all the instruments and cables and speakers and curtains and chairs. And I'm breaking a sweat at the end, realizing how out of shape I am standing inside this old YMCA. Well, I want to ask you, how fit are you? Did you hear about the time when the man whose wife gave him a private lessons at a health club? Yeah. He said, I called and made reservations with someone named Tanya. She's a 26-year-old aerobics instructor and an athletic clothing model. My wife seemed very pleased at how enthusiastic I was to get started. Day number one. They suggested I keep this exercise diary to chart my progress this week. Started in the morning at 6 a.m. Tough to get up, but worth it. When I arrived at the health club, and there was Tanya waiting for me. She's something of a goddess with blonde hair and a dazzling white smile. Tanya was very encouraging as I did my sit-ups, though my gut was already aching from holding it in the whole time that I was with her and talking to her. This is going to be great. Day number two. Took a whole pot of coffee for me to get out the door, but I made it. Tanya had a smile, and she had me lay down on my back and push up this heavy bar into the air, and then she put weights on it. Legs were a little wobbly on the treadmill, but I made it. Her smile made it worth it. Muscles feel great. Day number three. The only way I can brush my teeth is by laying the toothbrush on the counter and moving my mouth back and forth over it. Driving was okay, as long as I didn't try to steer. Tanya was a little impatient with me, as she said my screaming was bothering the other club members. Day number four. Tanya was waiting for me with her vampire teeth in full snarl. I can't help it. I was half hour late. It took me that long even to tie my shoes. I hid in the men's room until she sent Biff in looking for me. Day number five. I hate Tanya. I hate Tanya more than any human being has ever hated another human being in the history of the world. If there is any part of my body that's not in extreme pain, I would hit her with it. She thought it would be a good idea to work on my triceps. Well, I have news for you, Tanya. I don't have triceps. Day number six. Got Tanya's message on my answering machine, wondering where I am. I lack the strength to use the TV remote control, so I watch 11 straight hours of the Weather Channel. Day number seven. Well, that's the week. Thank God it's over. Maybe next time my wife will give me something a little more fun like a root canal or a kidney stone. Well, today I not only want to ask you if you're physically fit, but more importantly, how are we spiritually fit? Last week, we started a new sermon series as we look at the book of Luke. Zach kicked it off looking at chapters 1 through 3. We're trying to make sense of Jesus as we're going through this series. And he started off with the thought of Jesus is the Son of God. And he challenged us this week to think about the significance of that and the weight of that and the truth of that, that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, today we pick it up in chapter 4. And today we're going to be learning about when Jesus got baptized, he was led into the wilderness, and he's been going to be tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights as he's fasting and praying. And more specifically, we're going to be looking at the three temptations of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. So as we pick up that in verse 1, we can see that Jesus was just baptized. He's now going into the wilderness, and Jesus is going to step in the role now of Messiah. We're going to meet Satan, and he assumes the role of the adversary. So Jesus is coming from the baptistry to the frying pan. And each temptation that he's offered, Satan is trying to short-circuit God's plan. Satan wants control of his life, and Jesus rejected all the temptations. You know, as we look at our life, Satan wants to have control of our life also. And Jesus warned us that Satan is a thief. Jesus called him a thief. And we look at John 10:10, he says, the thief, Satan, and this is Jesus talking, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. So we're going to be learning that there's a spiritual struggle going on in the dark forces of this world, in the spiritual realm. It's a life and death struggle for control of our hearts. Satan wants to desperately plunge us into despair, into death, into depression, into hopelessness. But Jesus wants to lift us up, to give us hope, to give us hope of eternal life. So the crucial question this morning is this. Who do we allow to take control of our lives? Who do we allow to take control of our minds? So we learn here in chapter 4 that Jesus has just been baptized. He's full of the Holy Spirit, and then he's led into the desert. The Greek word here for led means thrust. Now, I remember when I was a kid in grade school, there was a local swimming pool there, and they had three high dives, three different levels, and I scrambled up the ladder to the highest high dive, going to the end and looking at how high I was, debating if I was going to jump off this thing. My buddy came behind me and just thrust me off, pushed me off, and there I went. I had no choice. And that's the picture that Jesus is having. He's thrust into the wilderness to have a face-off with Satan. Now, we know through Scripture who Satan is. Satan is a powerful angel that's been ousted from heaven. That's from Revelation 13, Isaiah 14, Job 1 and 2, and all those scriptural references. But was an angel and ousted from heaven. He rules the dark forces of this world, and Satan seeks to destroy God's church in your life. So let's go ahead, and now, as that's set, let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now, as we look at these three temptations, it's interesting to see that Satan uses the same phrase and the same word, if. He says, if you are the Son of God. So we can learn here quickly as Satan is the tempter. James 1:14 says, but each one of you, when you're tempted by your own evil desires, you're dragged away and enticed. Satan is the tempter. So Satan starts to attack Jesus. Satan wants to control his life. Now, you'd think he's the Son of God and he would be exempt from temptation. That's what we learned last week. Jesus is the Son of God. But this passage says he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was led into the wilderness. And he's been fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights, no food. Now, remember, he's just been baptized. I mean, he couldn't have been any more closer to the Father than he is now. But yet, Satan came at him in his weakness. And we'll come back to that. During his 40 days, Satan hounded Jesus. You know what that tells me? Satan attacks everyone. He attacks the Son of God, and he can even attack the most mature in the faith anytime, anywhere to be tempted to do wrong. And also we can learn that temptation is not a sin. You're tempted to do wrong, but that's not a sin. Temptation is a call to battle. Temptation is a sign that Satan is not in charge. Now, Satan attacked Jesus personally, but usually he comes to us indirectly. You know, Halloween's coming. When you think of a devil, what do you think of? You think of a man in a red suit and a tail and horns and a pitchfork. But it says he masquerades himself as an angel of light. Remember, he's a fallen angel and he masquerades himself as an angel of light. And Satan's world is attractive. It's alluring. Let's look at verse 3. The devil said to him, here's the first temptation. If you are the Son of God, there it is. Tell this stone to become bread. You know, Satan's clever. He always attacks us when we're most vulnerable. Scripture says in 1 Peter that he's a lion. And a lion seeks someone, prowls around ready to devour someone. He's looking, a lion looks for the weakest prey. Now, I'm on Instagram and I follow families and friends and just special people like Chris Pratt. I don't know why, I just follow him. Another group I follow is Jeep tours and Jeep legends and people who go on Jeep rides. But one of the things is it's called animal attacks. And every once in a while, they'll post a video of an animal sneaking up on their prey. Usually it's crocodiles. A lot of times it's lions or mountain lions. And they find to isolate the weakest prey. And at the moment they don't expect it, they pounce on him. And that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus, or Satan is doing. Jesus is vulnerable. He's hungry. He's weak and he's ready to pounce. And so he says, if you're the Son of God, really prove it right now. Perform this miracle. Perform this miracle. Turn the stones into a loaf of bread. It's an easy thing. You're starving, Jesus. It'll satisfy your hunger and it'll taste so good. Turn these stones into bread. It'll satisfy your hunger now. Jesus could have done it. When he was in his ministry, remember he fed the multitude of 5,000 with five loaves and two fish? He could have done it. He could have turned the stones into breadsticks from Olive Garden. But Jesus refused to let Satan control his mind and his thoughts and his actions. He says this in verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." Jesus is saying, Satan, there's something more important than satisfying my appetite. It's doing the will of the Father. There's something more important than feeding hungry people's stomachs. It's saving their souls from sin. The Father has promised that he's going to supply all my need in his time, and I'll wait for him to fulfill his promise. Then the second temptation comes along. Satan attacked Jesus with another temptation. I think it's about power. Let's look at verse 5 as we look at the second temptation. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the political kingdom, the sports kingdom, the financial kingdom, the entertainment kingdom. And Satan says, this belongs to me and I can give it to you right now if you want it. It's for your taking. Remember, Satan is the temporary prince of this age and he wants to dominate your heart. Satan says to Jesus, if you want to have power, I can give it to you right now. You'll be in charge fast. You want to be Lord of all. You can do it right now, Satan. Come on, let's do it together. You can compromise your life a little bit. It doesn't matter. Oh, what a temptation. Jesus, you can avoid the cross. You can avoid the pain of the cross and all those things. And Jesus refused to turn the controls over to Satan. And this is what he said. This is what Jesus said in verse 8. It is written, I love it, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He's saying, Satan, there's only one God and you're not it. There will be no compromise. I won't avoid the cross. I won't take the easy road out because it's less painful. Let's look at the third temptation. Verse 9, I think Satan is tempting Jesus here with popularity and prestige. It says in verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says to Jesus, and here it is, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Saying to Jesus, look, you can do your Father's will and leave this place and go teaching and preaching and dabble in some miracles and you can get a few followers. But I can guarantee if you do it my way and my offering, you can get a crowd fast. People love the spectacular. Here's what I have in mind for you, Jesus. Go to the highest point of the temple, jump off 100 feet down to the valley of Kindron below. And right before you hit the rocks, I know an angel will come down because I used to be an angel. I get it. It says angels will come down and swoop you up and you'll be uninjured. And I guarantee if you do that several times, you will start gathering crowds. Your name will be in lights. You'll be known all over in Palestine. You'll be a hero. And Satan is interesting. He uses God's word to tempt Jesus. Satan says, it's written, the angels will guard you and they'll catch you. Isn't it interesting that Satan also quotes scriptures? Verse 12, Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus says, I won't be jumping off the temple to get a crowd. So what does all this mean today, the temptations of Jesus? Well, it means a lot. First of all, it means this for you and me, is Jesus has won the victory over temptation. And you and I also can win the victory over temptation today and every day. And I think we can be inspired by the victory of Jesus here. It says in Hebrews 12, 18, because he himself, Jesus, suffered when he was tempted. Jesus is also to help those who are being tempted. You see, we can celebrate and be inspired of the victory over Jesus, with Jesus as he conquered temptation. Satan would have us to believe that we don't have any victory in our life. But Jesus gives us a demonstration that we can now meet temptation head on and overcome it. You know, the word temptation, the Greek definition of that phrase means to entice to do wrong by a promise of pleasure or gain. See, Satan still wants to lure us, to seduce us, to persuade us. He's an angel of light. He says, do this, it'll be better for you. He wants to entrap you in your moment of weakness, and it will ultimately be death. So what can we do? Well, here's what we can do. The first thing we need to do every day is this. Pray every day for the deliverance of temptation. Pray it every day. Say, for instance, you're going to work and you know you're going to have a difficult conversation with one of your coworkers and you've been regretting it, but the day has come. And you pray, Lord, I know what I'm going to step into. I need to have this difficult conversation. And Lord, you know I'm prone to anger and I let my words fly and I regret what I say later on. I'm going to be tempted to do that, Lord. Lord, will you be with me? Will you breathe on me and the assurances to give me strength when James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry? I can't do that in my strength, Lord. I need you. Will you help me overcome this temptation? Teach me, Lord, that cool heads always prevail in this situation. Or you pray, Father, I'm going to a family reunion today. There's going to be some old attitudes and habits that I've been trying to avoid. Help me to resist temptation. Our Father, we're visiting a pretty wealthy couple, and I have a tendency that's going to stimulate greed in me. Help me to be content with what I have, and pray that every day. Lead us not into temptation. James 4 says, submit yourselves to God, and this is what's going to happen. He says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You come near to God, and he will come near to you. So the Bible says through the strength of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, resist him and the devil will flee. The problem is people flee, but they leave a forwarding address. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you, but what is common to man. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, if you were here in our services on Sunday morning, I would have you repeat that with me. Come on, church, let's say it. God is faithful. So let's say that together. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted, as it says, beyond what you can bear. You see the strength of God in you now? But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. God always provides a way for us to escape, to flee, to run, and he gives us now the strength to handle it. So pray every day from deliverance to temptation. Here's a second one. Pray daily for the filling of the Holy Spirit to reinforce us. Pray that the Holy Spirit will reinforce us. When Jesus was fasting in the wilderness for those 40 days, he was close to God. He was communicating with God. He was so reinforced when he was ready for Satan. And Jesus told his disciples, you need to watch and pray because you will fall into temptation. And he said, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And that's why he told his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer. Give me today my daily bread. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Reinforce in me today, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Holy Father. You see, if we focus on the first temptation, I just want to do this just for a little bit. Let's focus on the first temptation. Jesus was tempted to turn the stone into bread. He said this, man shall not live by bread alone. We need to pray, Jesus, you are daily bread. And we need to seek God through prayer. Just like Jesus did in the wilderness as he was depending upon God, he continually prayed and find strength in him. So I want to challenge you to start develop a habit of praying to God in your private everyday life. And Jesus always told us the importance of prayer. Jesus expects us to pray. He told his disciples over and over. In Matthew 6, 5, he says, and when you pray. In Matthew 6, 6, but when you pray, and then he says it again, and when you pray, and then he comes back and this is how you should pray. He says in Luke 18, he told his disciples at another time, they should always pray. And prayer, I'm not talking about muttering something behind your steering wheel as you're sitting at McDonald's or Culver's through the drive-thru. It's more than that. It's more than just muttering good night to God as you put your head in the pillow. But we need to give God a premier segment of our life every day. And I want to say this. I understand prayer is unnatural, but it's still basic Christianity 101. And I want to say this. Prayer is non-negotiable when you're a Christian. Prayer is non-negotiable when you're a Christian. Prayer, when what happens, it replenishes our energy. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need more than physical bread. We need spiritual bread. We need bread of the Holy Spirit to empower us. So when the pressures come, and they will come during your day, when the pressures come and the stresses that we meet every day, we pray, Lord, I need you. Give me your daily bread. You're saying to God, God, you energize me. Energize me for the next assignment that I'm walking into. I need you. I need your energy. I need your protection. I need you for every moment of this day. And last of all, prayer should be a daily, unselfish expression of the dependency on God. So what we've done is, I'm calling it P23, 23 days of prayer. Go on our website, newhopechristianchurch.net. Go ahead and hit that icon, and it'll give you some helpful things and tools as we press into the Lord for 23 days and as we fast in that time also. It gives you examples of how to pray during that time, why to pray. It gives you ways to fast. Jesus fasted 40 days. I've been on a couple extended fasts, and I tell you, it's hard. It's physically demanding, and I've learned during those times, food is very good, but we still can fast. You can fast through lunch. It gives you some ideas of way the fast. Point is, when you take that time, spend that time with the Lord and really talk to him and give him your heart. So what we're going to do, we're going to have prayer meeting for the next three Sundays, in the chapel at our church, at New Hope Christian Church, in the chapel here. And we're going to spend an hour of prayer. I think we need this because we're in uncertain times in our culture and COVID and just everything around us. So we're just going to seek the Lord. Lord, how can we see you working in the ugliness that's happening around us? How can we be the church wherever we do life? And so all we do, you don't have to pray. Just be with the Lord and be with us. And we're going to seek him to be our daily bread as we walk in him. We're going to pray that he reveals himself to us and that we can hear him and follow him. We're going to be praying for breakthroughs. Breakthroughs for you, breakthroughs for families, breakthroughs for businesses, breakthroughs for our community. Well, before we close by saying the Lord's Prayer, I want to ask you this. Have you ever been baptized? Now, I'm saying this, I'm asking you, have you ever been immersed? Because you need the power of God. We all need the power of God. Jesus gave us an example. He was immersed. He walked 40 miles. He didn't need to do it. He was the Son of God, but he did it for an example for us. And I just want to say, you haven't tuned in this for accident. Somehow you found us and you have been being tempted and you're just being knocked down. And I want to say the only way to get out of that and find strength is to turn to God, to repent of the way that you've been living, to turn to God and say, God, I'm all yours. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I need you, Holy Spirit, to come. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to come to him because he's the living bread. And then he can give you life. So I want to ask you, it's in the package to hear and believe and confess and then be baptized. When you're baptized, you're saying, I am all in, Lord, and you're immersed and you come up and you walk in the newness of life. And now you can be a victor in this crummy world that we all live in. You now can have hope and you can have the assurance that you now have the strength to flee from evil because the Holy Spirit is upon you and strengthening you and living in you. So I want to say, have you ever taken that step? Being one of your pastors here, I'm going to be at the Y at 1 o'clock, the new Y, right across the parking lot, 1 o'clock Sunday. You bring your swimming trunks. I made arrangements with the staff and with Shelly there, and we'll go into the changing rooms. Got great changing rooms, state-of-the-art stuff, and we'll baptize you there in the pool. And I just encourage you to make that decision today and then walk in the newness of life. Well, enough of that. Let's go ahead and close together in the Lord's Prayer. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.